Blog Talk Radio.
North Florida Writer Live, James Dick, and this is a special edition of North Florida Writer Live on a Monday evening. There's just something special about dogs, an American tradition. That's our topic tonight. It's a fun topic. I'm a big dog lover, my wife and I, and so we're going to spend some time talking about dogs. And by the way, if you hear a bunch of barking in the background, yes, I have a bunch of dogs, and I might have to take a break and just let them out. But anyway, folks, getting right to it tonight, I want to start with going over the pictures, because my wife and I have owned a lot of dogs. They're part of the family. We've lost some wonderful ones. We've replaced them with other wonderful ones. We just love them. And I've got some pictures up of some of our dogs just to get you an idea of just how attached we are to dogs. The first one is an older dog. Matter of fact, he departed about 3 years ago. He lived about 13, 14 years. His name was Yardley, and he was an English Springer Spaniel. And we're going to tell a story about him after a while, but we'll tell a little bit about the other ones first. Yardley was a sweetheart. I mean, he was a great dog. The next picture is another to the same dog, about the same time. Those pictures were taken about a year before his death, when he was really beginning to fail. But he was valiant to the end. Next is Val and Sal. Valentino and Salvador. They are Great Pyrenees. The breed originated in Spain. And they were not full grown in those pictures. They were probably about three quarters of the way. Now they're full grown. They're brothers. Valentino is the oldest, Salvador the youngest. Same father, different mother, and they are full grown now. Salvador, the younger one, is a lot bigger than his older brother by 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Salvador weighs about, 170 pounds, and maybe a little more, and Valentino is probably about 130, maybe 35. But they're great dogs, and we got them because we live on a farm. It's not really an active farm, but we do raise some chickens for eggs primarily. And if we didn't have those dogs here, those big dogs that like to stay out at night, we probably would never have chickens. We had trouble before we got them with coyotes getting in sometimes, and even raccoons. Even though the next little dog, Molly, the Jack Rat Terrier, she loves to go after both raccoons and possum. She's a fighter, a scrappy. That's what terriers do. But she's really now in hog heaven with Val and Sal, because she's basically their boss when she goes out. She sleeps in the house, but she goes out a lot. And the big guys with their heavy coats, they don't want to be inside. They sleep outside, and they're nocturnal. They roam the fence line, and nothing comes in that's not supposed to be here without paying the ultimate price with those guys around. And, of course, Molly rooting them out, if you will. Next is a dearly departed dog that we had named Goliath. Goliath was a Great Dane. Wonderful dog. Came to a tragic death. I'm going to be doing a series of shows about dogs, so I'll talk about Goliath at another time. And then there's Frugal the Little Poodle. What she lacks in size, she makes up for in mouth. She has the shrillest bark and the best hearing. Matter of fact, she hears things out on the road, which is a quarter mile from our property, because you come down a lane to get to our property. And she hears things out on the road before the outdoor dogs hear them. Doesn't matter the time of the day, she's going to let you know that something's out there. So I guess you could say she's our alarm system inside the house. Next is a picture of a dog and cat that basically grew up together. They both departed. They lived a long, long time. The cat was named Kahuna because he was the largest in the litter. The dog is Max, a Dalmatian, liver-spotted Dalmatian, basically means brown spots, roughly. Max was a wonderful dog. He lived about 14 years, and Kahuna was not far from 20, and they died within a year of each other. And next is another American tradition, the Eagles and the American flag, followed by the basic founding for that tradition, the cross, the Bible, and the flag signifying America being founded under God. And I always put that picture up to remind us that, yes, we are a nation of God. So we're going to talk about dogs tonight. We're actually going to talk about one. We're going to talk about Yardley a lot. Yardley was one of the group, got along with all the dogs. Matter of fact, Yardley got along with everybody. He was just a wonderful, wonderful dog. So we're going to come back and spend some time talking about him. But before we do, and since it is dog night, we're going to play nothing but dog music tonight. And nobody's better at a song about dogs than the king of rock and roll. And here we go, and we'll be back with our story in a minute.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, just crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't nothing but a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie.
With his accompaniment by the Jordanaires. Great music. I love Elvis. I guess it dates me, but that's okay. Elvis had a lot of talent and a lot of great songs. We were blessed to have him. Okay, we're going to tell the story of Yardley. You're probably going to wonder, how in the world did this dog get a name like Yardley? And we'll explain that in just a moment. We don't know exactly how old Yardley was when we got him, because we didn't get him from a pound. We didn't get him from an adoption place. Yardley we found on the side of the road, or I didn't, my wife did. It was a cold winter day here in North Florida. Now, those of you that live up north probably say, ah, what do you mean North Florida being cold? Well, it's not cold like 0 degree temperature cold, but it's a damp cold. you know, Florida's only 60 miles wide, and even though we don't live on the coast, when the wind comes out of the northeast in the winter, it's cold and it's damp, and it cuts right through you. So it was a day that was overcast all day long, a little bit of drizzle here and there, and it was just kind of miserable. And, of course, having horses and a barn, I had some barn chores to do. My wife had gone into town to do a little shopping that needed to be done. And so I was there at the barn, and a couple of people that used to come out to go riding, they were in the vicinity. And my granddaughters were out visiting. They were with me. So I was just doing my thing, and I see Cheryl driving up in her truck, and she pulls in up by the barn, which is kind of unusual because normally she'll pull around back to where the house is. But no, she didn't do that. She pulled up by the barn, and as she got out of the door, she had a real twinkle in her eye. And when my wife has a twinkle in her eye like that, I know she's brought an animal home. She's an animal lover. I call her Dr. Doolittle, God Lover. But I knew there was something up. And she said, "Look what I've brought." And she opened the door, and out stepped Yardley. Didn't have a name then. It was the ugliest thing I had ever seen in my life. And let me explain that. Yardley had a world-class case of the mange. He looked awful. He was missing a lot of fur. He had a horrible red rash, looked raw. It was ugly. Matter of fact, the closest thing I could think to describe him was, I hate to say this, but probably what people looked at Hiroshima after the atomic bomb, because his skin looked horrible, and I didn't see any way this dog could survive. And I just looked like, oh, my gosh, what have you brought here? And the little girls looked over there, and just all they did was go, "Ew, what is it?" Cheryl said, "It's a dog. It's a Springer Spaniel, and I'm going to get him well." And I looked at her because we had a lot of mouths to feed with all the animals. We've rescued a lot of animals, as well as some that we have otherwise. And I said, "We just don't need any more mouths to feed." She says, "I will take care of it. You're going to grow to love this dog. You will see." Well, you know, over the next 6 weeks, she bathed him with a medicated shampoo daily. And she had a salve for him, and she took all kinds of good care of him, got all of his shots, and he started looking a little better. As the scabs fell off, new fresh pink skin started coming out. Within 6 weeks, the fur started growing in. And one day I looked at that dog and says, "He's a gorgeous dog." And she just looked at me and said, "Well, what do you think? What I told you, didn't I?" Well, he was a purebred English Springer Spaniel. He looked as good as the dog that won the Westminster a few years ago. But he wasn't quite as well behaved. Yardley was a real outdoor dog. He didn't want to go inside. He liked being outside. He liked to dig. He liked to run around. And he would just traipse all around the entire area where the horses were in the barn, the grounds around it, and just loving life and looking over things. We called him Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. It was the happiest dog I've ever seen. He never complained. He never whined. You fed him, gave him some water. You give him a little personal attention, you know, a pat on the head. I was still working then before I retired, because this has been 15 years ago. And when I'd come home, he would always come to the gate and greet me. And I'd just kneel down and love him a little bit. That's all he wanted. Then he'd trot on off doing his thing. But he was a good little watchdog. He watched over things around us. He let us know if anything was wrong. And he got along with the other dogs because we've always had lots of dogs. But he was just a wonderful dog. As he got older, we found that he really loved to swim. And I should have figured that because he's a Springer Spaniel. They're water dogs. Now, on our property, we have a round pond, a donut pond at the back. And I'll walk down there. We have it stocked with some fish. And it's just a nice little place to go and contemplate sometimes. Sometimes when I want to do my little daily devotional, for those of you that listen to me regularly or know who I am, you know that I have a very deep faith. And I'll go down and sit by the pond sometimes. It's very peaceful. And just have a one-on-one moment with God. And Yardley used to accompany me. He'd come down there. Sometimes in the evening, my wife and I would walk down there, and he loved to walk with us. And once he got there, though, he was in the water, and he could dog paddle all around that donut pond, which is a pretty good-sized donut, forever. He would just swim and swim and swim, and he'd see a fish, and he would try to catch it. He'd swim up by it and try to bite it. Of course, he never caught one. He didn't care. And when we were ready to come back, he would just come back up the steep bank and walk over to us nonchalantly and then shake off all the water on us. We'd laugh and head back towards the house. Sometimes Cheryl would dry him off, sometimes in the hot weather she didn't, because he wasn't going to come in. In the winter he'd sleep in the barn. We had a nice dog bed with a blanket. And in the summer he liked to sleep on the deck by the kitchen door. And that was Yardley. But anything that was running around outside, of course, we had a few other dogs too, they'd go out and play with him. And you didn't have to worry about anybody surprising you, because Yardley would go to the gate and keep an eye out. Now, this was before we had the Great Pyrenees, because we didn't get them until after Yardley. And Yardley wasn't as good about covering the whole territory if a raccoon got in, because we lost some ducks and we lost a few chickens. But then again, he was only one dog, and we have two Great Pyrenees, and they kind of split off in two different directions. But he was a wonderful, wonderful companion dog, a loving dog, and he was clearly a member of the family. There was no question about it. He'd always go to the gate when I would leave in the morning, and he would be waiting for me when I came home. And we lost him before I completely retired. So I don't know what he would do now. He'd probably follow me around because he loved to be with people. He was just a sweet dog. Liked to chase cats. Never caught him. Never hurt anything. But he was a great dog that way. And those walks were enjoyable, and I remember them forever. Now, Yardley started getting old. This was, I guess, 5 years ago. The last year and a half, 2 years of his life, he was starting to fail. Got some arthritis. We got some ointment that was like a salve that would kind of like, I call it modified hot sauce that people use, warm up the joints and make him feel better. And he still got about and he never complained. And he always slept by the kitchen door. And every morning when I would get up, and I get up early, I get up around 5:30, quarter to 6, and I go, the first thing I do, into the kitchen and make a pot of coffee. And Yardley would hear the coffee start. And when he did that, he would be at the back door and I would hear him bark twice. That's all he would do. Two barks just to let me know he was there. And you know what that meant? He wanted his morning biscuit. Yardley had a habit. He'd be there waiting for his morning biscuit. So I'd go and give him his morning biscuit and he would sit there and I'd go out there with him a little bit and sit there and pet him and love him a little bit, and he just was happy as could be. Don't remember him any other way. And then I'd go about my chores, and I'd see him all over the farm. He'd be roaming around, but never caused any trouble. Just would dig once in a while. Well, one night, my wife got up in the middle of the night. I was sleeping, and I vaguely remember her getting up. And I heard her go out the door, but I just dozed back off. And I guess it was 10 minutes later, I don't know. She walked back in. She came into bedroom and got in her side of the bed. And she was crying. And I wasn't fully awake, but I said, what's wrong? And she says, Yardley's dead. He's out by the bench. We have up. Well, that picture that's up that shows the little cement table with the benches. Yardley liked to lie out there because the concrete blocks around it were cool, and he'd lie on the cool blocks. There was a big live oak there that gave it shade. So he loved it on a hot day. And he would lie out there sometimes. And I guess he wasn't feeling well, and he went out there to lie down and just died. We don't know what happened to him exactly. He may have had a heart attack. I don't know. And like I say, he was 13 or 14. We're not sure. But he seemed to have been peaceful. Well, I didn't know. I heard her say that, but I was half asleep, and I didn't even remember. I just dozed back off. And I got up at my usual time, and I went in the kitchen and made the coffee. And I didn't hear Yardley bark. And all of a sudden, I realized what had happened. She had told me that Yardley was dead. So I went outside, and I found him by the bench. I got a big blanket, wrapped him in it, put him on the bench, and came back in just as my wife was getting up. And she said, "Did you find Yardley?" I said, "Yes, I did. I'm going to go bury him." I went out and dug the hole. We have our own little pet cemetery. We've got quite a group of dogs and cats in the cemetery. I dug his grave and lay him in the blanket, covered him, and put a marker on it. And to this day, I still miss him. He was as lovable and loyal a dog as any man or any family could ever have. And I'm very thankful that we had him. So that's the story of Yardley. A wonderful dog, a wonderful friend. And you know, I remember as a child, because I had dogs as a boy, asking my mother if dogs went to heaven. And she just looked at me like, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe they do." Well, about a year ago, I started pondering that question. I guess it's because I'm getting older myself, and you ponder things about your mortality, but you also wonder about other people that you loved, as well as loving animals. And I saw an article, and it was dated a number of years ago because I was searching for something on the subject. And it was by Billy Graham, the great evangelist who I dearly love, who's still alive with us at the ripe old age of 97, and his son Franklin has taken up his place, although in a little bit different fashion, preaching the gospel. But I read the article and it amazed me. Somebody asked Billy Graham that question, "Do dogs go to heaven?" And here's what Billy said. He said, "Well, dogs develop your personality. They become a part of you. And anybody who's owned a dog know that at least somebody in the family develops an extremely close relationship. The whole family does, but usually one person more in particular than others. And the dog will develop that person's traits and characteristics and really is just absolutely devoted." So Billy Graham says, "Well, anything that develops your traits and characteristics and understands you that well is certainly going to be in your heaven for you." And I thought about that and I said, that really makes sense. So Yardley, I hope your donut pond in heaven is a good one. And I hope you're getting your daily swim. And we'll see you again, boy, one of these days. That's our little story for today. Now, folks, here's a challenge I want to put out to you. You know, I started a couple of weeks ago a reminiscence type of show. I call it Americana, you know, the good old days. And by good old days, I mean good old days for those of us that are still alive. So that doesn't have to go back to the real ancient times, just the modern olden days, as I call it, which is like anything early 70s and earlier. And there are a lot of us around that fall in that category. And I've been asking people if they have a good story, for Americana story, something that talks a little about the way things used to be and the good old days, if you will, in the modern time. I've asked if anybody wanted to volunteer to come on the show. Haven't had any takers yet, but it's open. And, of course, anybody that's interested, they can contact me through this site, blogtalkradio.com, North Florida Writer Live, which has a listing of all of my shows, and you can actually listen to them there. But it also has a place for comments. If you will make a comment, that you want to come on the show and tell me how I can reach you, I will do so. Or if you don't want it to be on that site, you would rather it to be where nobody but me sees it, go to my website, NorthFloridaWriter.com. There is, at the top of that first page, the main page, there is a menu, and one of the items is contact. If you will use that contact point and let me know how to reach you, I'll get in touch and we'll see what we can do. I'm looking for good, interesting stories about Americana, and now I'm also looking for good, interesting stories about animals in your life. It's not just limited to dogs, because let me tell you, folks, I'm not just limited to dogs. My wife and I, we have dogs, we have cats, we have horses, and we have birds. We used to have a ferret, but he passed away. We love animals. And all animals have wonderful stories. They can teach us a lot. So if you have a story and you want to share it, it can be a kind of a tribute like I just did for Yardley to a favorite animal. It can be a story about something funny they did. It can be anything. Just let me know. I'd love to bring you on. I'd like to make this a participant show. I think that people like these types of stories. Because, you know, it's a rough world out there. We get beaten up all day long. And it's nice sometimes just to relax and think about things like man's best friend and even our feline buddies as well. And don't forget the equine characters. We've got them all out here, folks. So think about that. Because I think it would be fun. And whether you do or not, I'm going to keep doing it. I get an audience for my shows, amazingly. I wonder when I talk about these things if anybody is even interested. But I do get a pretty good following, so I know there's an interest out there. So come on, folks. Be brave. Get in touch, and let's get you on the air sometime soon. Because I do Americana and now the animal shows I'm going to try to do about once a week. And then I also do my devotional shows. I do a little politics, and I do other general events. Because this is, after all, a lifestyle show. I talk about lifestyle, the American lifestyle, and the American tradition, because I think it's too good to lose. So what do you say? Let's give it a shot. Anyway, folks, that's our show for tonight. Short and sweet. I find that people like it better that way. But we'll be back in the future with a show about dogs, or cats, or horses, or maybe all three, and we'll do some more Americana, as well as some politics. And, of course, every weekend I have my Sunday morning coming down devotional series. And I've gotten a real nice listenership for that, and I'm very blessed by God. I think it's doing what I want it to do, and I'm pleased. Anyway, folks, I hope you'll also look at my website, as I mentioned, NorthFloridaWriter.com. And we're going to close out the show tonight with another song about dogs. And, oh, by the way, tomorrow night we're going to have a show about American education. It's going to be about what I consider to be a disaster that's happening to American education, known as Common Core. My guest will be Meg Norris. She's been with me quite a few shows now. This is probably your sixth show coming up. She is a wizard about what's going on with Common Core. She's a fighter. She's opposed to it. She's an educator. And she lives in Georgia. And she will be coming on behalf of Opt Out Georgia, an organization that is fighting to try to get common sense and real classroom instruction back in the classroom instead of non-ending testing that doesn't really teach anybody anything. So Meg will be with me tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And don't let her know, folks, this is a secret, but I'm probably going to open with the same music because, after all, the beach state is also the home of the Georgia Bulldogs. Oops, sorry, folks. Those of you down here in Gainesville, I didn't say that, in Florida. Anyway, folks, that's our show for tonight, and I say we're going to close out with music from the dog theme. Here's an oldie from the rock and roll days, Rufus Thomas with Walking the Dog. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Have a great evening. Hope you tune in again soon. Bye now.